you would, find the scripture in John 21:25. I'll read it to you and with you. It says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child can understand me. Lord, help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with that to speak, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Remind me, Lord, that of everybody on this campus today in this service, in this hour, I'm the one you hold under a greater judgment, a more strict judgment, because I'm a teacher of your word. And Lord, I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Hang on just a minute. I'm going to work with my mom. Okay, we are in a series called Bales. In our series, we are dealing with the B is blessed, the E is eat, the L is listen, the other L is learn, and the other L is sent. And if you're a guest today, I'm going to do my best to catch you up. Today, we're dealing with learn. I will spend at least one period of the week learning Christ, which means I'm going to be reading the Gospels. That's where we are today. But if you're a guest, I'm gonna get you lined up with us. We try to bless two people a week, one in the church, one outside the church, meaning they're not a part of our membership. We try to eat with two people a week, one we're connected with in the church and someone else. We spend at least a period of the week listening to the Holy Spirit. Hope you did that. And I hope you, it was probably unique for you, but I hope you did that. Hope you just found some solitude and just listened. And remember, we said we don't want music, we don't want devotion reading, we don't want Bible reading, just spend time with him. Remember I told you it's going to take you about 20 minutes to get where you need to get. Not because the Lord is slow, it just takes you that long to kick out of world gear, you know. You're running that fast. It takes you that long to simmer down, so to speak. And then today we're dealing with learn. I will spend a period of the week learning Christ, learning Jesus. And our challenge for you is to do that through the Gospels, and that's where we're going to be in today. And if you are a guest, you want to catch up, these are on the podcast, and you can catch up with those. When you bless people, you are giving generosity. When you eat with people, you are giving hospitality. When you listen to the Spirit, you're living a Spirit-led life. And when you're learning from the Gospels, from the life of Jesus, you're becoming Christ-like. John 21:25, which we opened with, we're going to revisit. Just look at that verse for a moment. We don't have everything documented in the Gospels that Jesus did. Don't be taken back by that. Because if we did, you couldn't read it all. Let alone could we contain it, you couldn't read it all. Just take a look at that verse. Just wade through that verse for a moment. Here's the thing. We have what is written about him, and you don't read that either. We just kind of skip over it, handle it whenever it falls. So we're telling you to learn Jesus. And one way to learn Jesus is to read the Gospels. And remember what I told you. When you read them and you get done, guess what? Read them again. And then when you get finished with those, read them again. And just keep reading it and familiarize yourself with what is going on in the Gospels. When 1 John 5:13, I'm staying with John's writings today. He said, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. One of the reasons these things are written is so that you'll know who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. And as you read about the Lord, then you're going to find out more and more of who he is. It's just being able to learn from him. We're not just learning about Jesus. There are lots of people who know things about Jesus who don't have a relationship with Jesus. So it's not just learning facts about Jesus, or even his teaching, as some would call a philosophy or a concept. It's not just learning about Jesus. It's more than learning what would Jesus do. I'm not against the bracelet, WWJD, but it's more than that. Here's the catch. It's learning Jesus to know what he would have you to do. Amen? It says amen. Wait for the amen right there. It says it in parentheses. It's not just knowing about Jesus. It's not just knowing what would he do in this situation. It is what would he have you to do in this situation. What would he have you do? And you're going, well, he asked so-and-so to do this in their situation. Maybe he's telling me, find out what he wants you to do in this situation. And then you'll be able to learn that. So I'm not against the bracelet. It's a good idea. And people wore them, and they still didn't do what Jesus would do, right? I said this earlier. When I became a pastor in 1986, January of 86, I started pastoring my first church. And this guy had a great idea of all of us getting license plates for our automobiles that had the name of our church on it. And so they didn't call it branding back then, but I guess that's what you were doing. And a deacon came up to me. His name's Harvey Annell. Harvey, a farmer. He walked slow. He talked slow. He did everything slow, but he did everything well. He just wasn't in a hurry. And he comes up to me and he said, "Preacher, can I talk to you about those license plates?" I said, "Yes, Harvey, what about them?" And I'm going, "What's a big deal about a license plate on an automobile?" And he said, "Preacher, I don't know if we ought to do that, because we've got people in our church that take their automobiles where they ought not go." Let's think about that for a moment. And my point is, people wore the bracelet, but they still didn't do what Jesus did. And it's beyond that. It's what would he have you do? Learn Jesus so that you would know what he would have you to do in that situation by learning from his life. That's the point we really want to get to. When you spend time in the Gospels, it's going to do two things. It's going to create devotional value for you and missional value. And today we're going to look at devotional value. One of the things that's going to happen to you is you're going to get closer to the Lord. You're going to see what he did. And most of you know it. But I could bring up some things in the Gospels and you're going, "Really? That's in there?" And mainly because you just haven't read them. Or you may have read them and forgotten. But it's just a closer walk with him. And not only that, the devotional value is it brings intimacy with the Father. I don't know if you pay attention how much as a preacher I put emphasis on the Father, even in our prayer time. I don't tell you to tell Jesus that you love him from your heart to his heart. I ask you to tell the Father that you love him from his heart, from your heart to his heart. I do want you to get down to the nuts and bolts of some of the things I do with you that you may not pay attention to. If I really want to get detailed, I don't pray to Jesus. I pray to the Father. I mean, that's Jesus' teaching. It's Father, Abba, Daddy. That's who I pray to. You say, "Well, Jesus, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm doing what the Father's doing." "Well, what are you saying?" "I'm doing what the Father tells me to say." So there, I'm doing this intentionally. It becomes intimacy with the Father. Devotional value is we hear and understand the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We're able to understand that more. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us. We see the beauty of the Word of God. We don't go to it out of dread. We don't go to it like we've been summoned for to be disciplined. We see the beauty of his word, that his word has something to say to this situation, and we see the beauty of it. The devotional value is we're able to see how to model my life after his life. How do I connect with him on those levels? I wrote down these things that I shared with you because I can prepare a sermon and then these things come and I jot them down. You're going to understand kingdom living when you read the Gospels, especially the Sermon on the Mount. You're going to learn it. Not only kingdom living, you're going to learn how to think with kingdom thought. It's important that you live your day thinking kingdom thought, not occasionally thinking kingdom thought, but everything that happens to me and around me gets filtered through kingdom thought. How does it affect the kingdom? I will learn how to give a kingdom response. And if you're going to know kingdom living and how to have kingdom thought and how to have kingdom response, then hang on to this, okay? This is real profound here. You better know the king. You need to know the king. If you're going to be able to have that in your life, there's kingdom responses that go along. Today and tomorrow will be death number three since last Friday. I'm tired of death. You hear me? I'm tired of it. I said that at a funeral Friday. I'm tired of death. Death wears me out. Death drains me more than anything else in my life. Friday, week ago, our first worship leader had his funeral in Bowling Green. Then we had Susie's brother pass away unexpectedly Sunday afternoon after church. And then Jeff passed away. And that's today and tomorrow. And some of you go, preacher, you know, you're a little sluggish. Well, I've handled three deaths in just a little over a week. And every one of them are just refreshers of my son-in-law's death. You know, and I try to put that back as much as I can, but I can't. And when I said that I'm tired of death, I really felt Jesus go, exactly. I want you to be tired of death. Right? What I fear the most, and you do, he conquered it the greatest. Death. In fact, the world thinks death is loss. Jesus doesn't think that way. Jesus says death is what? Gain. I told the guys in the back, I had three sermons today, so I said, you might get all three of them, so you just hang on. We may just bleed on over, and you just have to scoot over and let the second service sit by you, all right? I think the Lord wants me tired of death because it draws me closer to him. Because who conquered death the greatest? No one has conquered death like Jesus has conquered death. It's grave, where is the victory? Death, where is your sting? And we're celebrating the resurrection. And the world goes, you've lost a loved one. And Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, if they're in me, death is gain. That's kingdom thought. That's kingdom living. That's a kingdom response to death. He doesn't want you to like it. But he wants you to know to put your trust in him, the one who conquered it. That's kingdom living. So I'm going to have to saturate it. I mean, let's get the picture here. Jesus is very closely related to Lazarus and his sisters. Right? He's late for the funeral. Did you all hear me? He didn't sign the guest registry. Y'all with me? Are they mad at him because he's late? Yes. Yeah, they're mad at him. Because where you been? If you'd have been here, you'd never die. Jesus is going, this death thing is no big deal. Watch. And it said that he had been in the tomb so long, he was decomposing. And the Lord called him forth, removed the grave clothes. Death's not an issue with Jesus. You got it? So don't, the world says it's lost. Jesus says, no, in me it's gain. You got that? I don't know who needed that today, but that's not in the notes, okay? I pray for words of knowledge. I just gave it to somebody. So you go share it with somebody else. If that's the case, then I got to look at death through king. I got to filter it through kingdom thought. And I've got to be able to look at that. Do I miss my son-in-law? Of course I do. That's really can be a silly question. Of course I do. Do I know where he is? Of course I do. And I grieve what possibly could have been. But I know the Lord has this. I just have to trust him through it. What I fear the greatest, he has conquered the most. And then I put my faith and trust in him with that. I just wanted to give you that example. I better jot that down so the second service gets it too here in a moment. Here's the missional value. The missional value of reading the Gospels and learning Jesus. You will know him. You need to know him if you're going to share him as our, if we're going to share him as our hope. You need to do that. You need to be able to know how he responded to people in the Gospels. A missional value is our hope is in Christ should be a point of contention with the world, meaning they're going to ask questions. How do you get through that? How can you still have hope because this just happened to you? In other words, it's going to go against the way the world thinks and reacts. When you share the Lord and you live a kingdom life, kingdom thought, kingdom response, because you know the King, it's going to raise questions with people. Why I've treated you so badly, why do you still love me? It could be a reaction. Somebody's going, I've not treated you kindly. You know I haven't. I know I haven't. Why do you still love me? Well, then I'm able to give them that answer because the love of Christ compels me to still care for you. We're going to get there a little bit deeper in a moment. But if you live a kingdom life after the King, it's going to raise questions with the world, and then the question is going to say, out of everything that's happened to you, why is your hope still in Christ? And then you're going to be able to give them the answer. The missional value is if we're going to share our hope, we need to know what Jesus would have us do and say by knowing what he did and said. Another missional value is this demands a deep search and understanding of his life. And so we read the biography, his biography, and it is the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm going to give you a little lesson here, okay? Some of you know this, and some of you are going to have to process this. The New Testament and the Old Testament, they're not in chronological order, all right? Now, you can get a chronological Bible that's matched by timelines. It goes in the order of time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not at the beginning of the Gospels because they're the earliest writings. Some of Paul's writings precede the Gospels. You with me? Some of Paul's letters are earlier date-wise than the Gospels. The Gospels came later. You'll think they're in line saying they're the earliest documentation we have. Actually, Paul's letters, some of his letters, are the earliest documentation we have of Christ. The Gospels came later on in date. So the New Testament's not lined up in a yearly sequence. I'm glad they're at the beginning of the New Testament because if you're reading the first, you need to read the Gospels. I'm also telling you to not do other Bible study. You're going, hey, preacher, you telling me to ditch my Beth Moore study? You telling me to ditch others? No, I'm not telling you to ditch your other study. I'm just telling you study God's word, but just make sure you read the Gospels over and over and over again. Just study the word of God. Keep doing studying that. There's beauty in the word of God. But then it's not because I'm asking you to read the Gospels because they're the earliest writings. They're not. But I'm asking you to read it because it's his biography. There is a song, and I think I've got two-thirds of it right. And I was listening on the radio the other day. And I know I got the first two right. I had to guess at the third one. But the song is a lady singing, and she said, I would rather know the healer than the healing. I would rather know the Savior than the saving. And this is the one I'm guessing at. I'd rather know the giver than the gift. I could be really upset that the Lord didn't heal a preacher's son-in-law. But I'd rather talk about the healer than the healing. I'd rather know the Savior than the saving. I'd rather know the giver. Some of us want to tap into Jesus because of what he can give us. I mean, he's a vending machine. You know, E7, I get a Snicker bar, you know? You know what I'm saying? Is it true? I know people like that. Do you? Are you one of them? Is the next question. Are you one of them? Do you want to be tapped into Jesus so what he gives you? It's more about who he is than anything else. It's knowing and learning him. This is my favorite Charles Spurgeon quote. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Walt, that's the part I told you you would like. I was sitting by him where I said, I've got one part of my sermon you like. I said, well, I hope you like all of it, but I said, there's one part that you're going to like. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Let me tell you how much I like it, that saying. Show them, Miles. I ordered that shirt. I loved it so much, I looked it up on Amazon. Amazon is now a relative of ours. Is he in your house too? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that relative of mine brings it right to the door. You know what I mean? I love every minute of it. So I loved it so much, I ordered that shirt. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone that isn't. In a size smaller, by the way. There you go. So I wanted to tell you how much I love that. I don't know where I'll wear it, but anyway, I got it. I really believe that line because I use this today because you're going to say, well, Pastor Jeff just wants me and encouraging me to read the Gospels. I am, but I don't want you to read and study the Gospels alone. Continue on in your search of Scripture. I said this early on. When we're learning Jesus through the Gospels, if we're going to live a kingdom life, we're going to live the king. In my first church, when I was 26 years old, is when I became a pastor. In my first church, I realized this one Easter. And I was looking at Jesus being on the cross and then the two thieves being beside him. And I'd heard this statement. This was the rhetoric then. You can go be Jesus. Go be Jesus. Go be Jesus. That was the rhetoric then. If we'd have had Twitter back then, we'd been tweeting that, you know, go be Jesus. And I looked at the cross, really just even pictures of it. Jesus on the cross and two thieves. And I really felt the Holy Spirit teach me this then. Jeff, you can be the thief who didn't believe, and you can be the thief who did, but you can't be the guy in the middle. And my death, I'm going to use a seminary, is not salvific. My death doesn't bring salvation. I can't be Jesus, but I can be like Jesus. I can be like him. I can't be the king. I can serve the king. Sometimes in our quest, we want to be him. We're not him. There's only one him. There's only one begotten Son of God, and that's Jesus. So I'm asking you to be him. I'm asking you to be like him. How did he respond? What was his kingdom thought? Kingdom living is going to be based on the king. Our mission is not just going out and sharing the gospel. It is that. It's not that alone. Our mission is that plus going deeper in the lives of people, just like Christ did. For example, is the Lord still calling you deeper living? Nod your head yes. The answer to that is yes. Okay? I didn't want to know there, so I cut it off, all right? Yeah, he continually is calling you deeper. Now, let's be honest. Some of us have settled for where we are. Let's just be honest. Deeper means I've got to readjust my life. And I'm pretty happy about my life. Yes? You see the contention? Let me tell you why I know he calls us deeper. Because he left heaven to came to a sick, ridden world. How deep did he go to find you? How deep did he go to save and rescue you? He calls us to deeper. Continually. And you're going, hey, preacher, is there a time where I settle? No. And the deeper he moves you, the greater influence and impact you have for the kingdom of God in a world that absolutely has most nothing to do with it. The deeper you are, the greater the impact that you have. And he knows that. And then we can live superficial lives. It's like, how you doing? Fine. You know, and we really just touch people's lives real superficial at a single level. And when we're telling you to go out and bless two people, eat with two people, listen to the Holy Spirit, or who are my two people this week? Who are they? He'll tell you who they are. He'll lead you to him. He'll set it up. He'll do every bit of that. Absolutely every bit of that. Every bit of that. Can I just tell you something silly? I gave my tithe last Sunday. The Lord told me to re-tithe today. And I did it. Okay? I don't want any applause. Don't give me a gift card. In less than a day, I have recouped half of that already. Now, I'm not telling you give it away, you're going to get it. I just said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. I just retithed again today. I'm not telling you to do that, but if you do that, God bless you. All right? But I'm just saying, do what he tells you to do. And it's all of a sudden, it's been boom, boom, boom since yesterday evening. He's like, I'm telling you, you got to learn to trust me in all these areas of your life. So it's finding out, it's going deeper as you handle people. I read this tweet. My son retweeted it. I read it again. It's from Rosario Stubblefield. And she said, you know, when people move next door to you, God has brought them to you. And I got to thinking about all my neighbors. I'm going, man, I can start a church here on my block, you know. I really could. And there's all kinds of work for me just right there on my street. And how? And I'm praying, Lord, show me how to connect with my people, your people. You've brought them here, and you brought us here for a reason. Then reveal that to me. The reason we sometimes don't connect with people is because we know the Lord's going to have us go deeper with them, and we just don't want to do that. Let's just be honest. We don't mind the, hey, how you doing? Can I mow your yard? That's fine. But to go deeper and walk with you is a whole nother venue. And we just don't want to do that. And I'm telling you, that's what he's calling. That's how I'm going to start leading you, okay? I've already started it. I'm asking you, when the Holy Spirit gives you those people, it's not just a, hi, how you doing? Let me give you the gospel. You need to do that. But it's calling us to walk deeper with them. That's the discipleship we're giving to you. How far did he go for us? And he's asking us to go just as far with other people. Bless you. Learn from the King. Study his word. Read the Gospels. And let's learn Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray over our people today. Bless them. Lord, I pray over us that We can't learn what we think we already know. And Lord, if we think we already know everything about you, John wrote that there's just no way that I can. Because what all has been written would be written about everything you've done could not even, this world can't contain it. So, Lord, help us to learn from you through your gospels. Your Holy Spirit has anointed that. The Father has breathed upon it. Help us to learn from you of how to walk with people, go deeper with people, not just do what you would do, but do what you would have us to do in the situations of our life. Thank you for being our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our redeemer, our strong tower, our mighty refuge, our rock. Lord, thank you for being all those things in our life. Thank you for leaving heaven to come down and find us and rescue us. Now, together with you, may we go rescue others. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Our invitation is given for you to come and surrender your life to Christ. You may have never done that. We ask that you come. There'll be people in the altar here to minister to you and with you and lead you in that decision. If you're here and you're a believer, there's people here to minister to you as well, pray with you, pray for you. You can just bypass them and you can pray on your own. If you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. You take the bread, dip it in the drink. And before you consume it, remember his sacrifice and give him thanks for being our Savior. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, find your spot. And Chad and Logan, you lead us.